All right, so picture this. You're a hotshot lawyer a few years down the road.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right? Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
And a client comes waltzing into your office with a problem, and it's a doozy. They leased out some property, you know, beautiful piece of land with tons of trees. And get this, the tenant went and chopped down every single tree like a lumberjack on a mission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the client's, understandably, pretty upset, wants to know if they can just boot this tenant out, terminate the lease. You know what's wild, though? This isn't just some made-up scenario from law school. It's ripped straight from the headline. Well, not headlines from 1810, but still. This case, Jackson versus Brownson, it's like a cornerstone of early American property law. And get this, it still has a huge impact on how we look at property rights today.
It's amazing how a case about cutting down trees, you know, something that seems pretty straightforward, can end up shaping legal thinking for centuries. And that's really what we're going to be doing today, diving deep into this idea of waste in property law, how these early American courts tried to figure out what happens when people disagree about using the resources on leased land.
Exactly. And this Brownson case is like our guidebook. It gives us this incredible look into how courts back then tried to balance the tenant's right to use the property with the landlord's right to keep it, you know, in one piece.
Absolutely delicate dance, for sure.
So to really break this down, we've got this awesome set of materials. We've been calling it pasted text for this deep dive. It's like a crash course on the case. You've got background info on the podcast itself, a super detailed case brief that lays everything out nice and neat, a legal brief that really dissects the arguments, and even some expert analysis just to make sure we're getting to the heart of Jackson versus Brownson.
Sounds comprehensive. So let's get down to brass tacks.
Well,
what were the big facts in this case, the ones that really set the whole legal battle in motion?
Okay, so the lease had these two really important covenants, those promises that are baked right in. First, the tenant couldn't just hand off the lease to someone else without the landlord's, no subletting without permission. And second, and this is the kicker, they agreed not to commit any waste on the property unless they got the green light from the landlord.
Makes sense. So far, so good.
But here's where things get spicy. The original tenant actually did get permission to transfer the lease all above board. But then the new tenant, the one who took over the lease, well, they decided to play lumberjack and basically wiped out all the timber. Like, seriously, almost every tree was gone.
That's probably not going to fly with the landlord.
Yeah, the landlord was not happy. And that landlord, by the way, was represented by Jackson acting for the church, hence the whole Jackson XM Church part of the case name.
Ah, the good old legal jargon. I always got to love that.
So what do? They sued, of course. They argued that clear-cutting the forest, that was straight-up waste. And they didn't just want some money to make up for it. They wanted the whole lease tossed out. They were going for forfeiture, the legal equivalent of kicking the tenant to the curb and taking back the property.
Wow, that's a pretty drastic move. Forfeiture is not messing around.
Right. It's a big deal. So now we got to tackle the big question. What exactly does waste mean in the legal world? Why was it such a huge deal in this case?
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about just tossing your candy wrappers on the ground here, right?
No, not at all. In legalese, waste is way more specific. It's when a tenant does something, or sometimes doesn't do something, that causes lasting damage to the property. And this damage has to really knock down the property's value.
Mm.
Think of it like something that messes with the landlord's long-term investment in the land, what they call their reversionary interest, what the property will be worth when they get it back at the end of the lease. So yeah, in this case, wiping out all those trees, that was seen as that kind of serious long-term damage.
Interesting. So then the question becomes, did this new tenant actually break that no-waste promise in the original lease?
Right.
And if they did, was forfeiture like basically evicting them and ending the lease, was that a fair punishment?
Exactly. And this is where Justice Van Ness, the guy who wrote the majority opinion, really laid down the law. He was very clear. Cutting down basically all the trees absolutely caused permanent injury to the inheritance. And here's a little nugget of wisdom for you, future legal eagles. He specifically said that the court has to look at what the property was like when the lease was signed.
Oh, that's a good point. So they weren't saying a tenant could never, ever cut down a tree. No. They understood that sometimes you got to chop down some trees, you know, for farming or whatever.
Right.
But in this case, it was the sheer scale of the deforestation that made it waste.
It went way beyond what anyone would consider reasonable use.
Right. It wasn't just a couple of trees here and there. This was like a full-on timber massacre.
Right.
So the court decided to uphold the forfeiture. They really wanted to protect the landlord's rights to the property. But wait a minute. It wasn't a total slam dunk, right? There were some other opinions that added a different perspective to the whole thing.
You're right. It wasn't a unanimous decision. There were these really interesting concurring opinions from a couple of the justices who kind of saw things a bit differently.
Yeah, like what were they thinking?
Well, Justice Spencer, for example, he agreed that they needed to have a new trial because there were some issues with how the evidence was presented the first time around. But he also had some really interesting thoughts about how strictly they should interpret these lease agreements. He thought that forfeiture was a pretty harsh punishment, and maybe the lease should have been way more specific about how much timber the tenant could or couldn't cut down.
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to punish someone too severely if the rules weren't crystal clear to begin with.
Right. And he thought that tenants should have some flexibility to use the land for farming and stuff. And without those specific limits on timber in the lease, maybe this level of tree cutting shouldn't automatically lead to forfeiture.
It's like a balancing act between protecting the landlord's property and giving the tenant some reasonable leeway.
Exactly. And then you have Justice Yates. He was on the same page as Justice Spencer, really pushing for a more literal interpretation of the lease agreement. They both agreed that a new trial was necessary for those technical legal reasons. But Justice Spencer also had this fundamental disagreement with a majority about how to understand the lease and how harsh the penalty should be.
So we've got this split decision with some justices saying, hey, this was way too much tree cutting, forfeiture is the right call, and others saying, hold on, maybe the lease wasn't clear enough. Maybe the punishment doesn't fit the crime. It's fascinating to see those different perspectives.
Absolutely. So let's step back for a second and think about the big picture. What does this case tell us about how courts decide whether a tenant's actions are actually considered waste? What are the factors they look at?
Yeah, like how do you draw the line between reasonable use and going too far?
Well, when we look at the Brownson case, a few key things jump out. First, like Justice Van Ness pointed out, the court looked at the condition of the property when the lease was first signed. Was it covered in trees? Was timber a big part of its value? You know, what was the baseline?
Gotcha. So the context matters.
Big time. Then they looked at the damage itself. How permanent was it? How bad was it? Chopping down a few trees for firewood is one thing. Wiping out an entire forest is a whole other ballgame.
Totally different ballpark.
Then they looked at whether the tenant's actions were within the bounds of reasonable use. Was the timber being used for like essential farming stuff, or was it just wanton destruction for some other reason?
Right. It's like, were they using the land responsibly, or were they just going rogue?
Exactly. And finally, even though the majority thought the no waste clause was good enough, those concurring opinions really highlighted how important it is to be super specific in the lease agreement about how resources can be used.
Ah, so it all comes back to good drafting in the end.
Always. So even though this case is over 200 years old, there are some really practical lessons we can learn from it, especially for all you future lawyers out there. What are some of the big takeaways about drafting leases in the 21st century?
I'm all ears.
Well, the biggest one is the importance of being crystal clear and specific. If a landlord wants to protect the trees on their property, the Brownson case screams, spell it out in the lease. Instead of just a vague no waste clause, maybe the lease should say something like, no more than a certain number of acres of timber can be removed without written permission, or even, these specific areas are off limits for tree cutting. You know, that kind of detail can really prevent these types of disputes from happening in the first place.
It's all about thinking ahead and addressing potential problems right there in the lease agreement, right?
Spot on. It's like legal preventative medicine. And the case also shows us this ongoing tension in property law, this balancing act between a tenant's right to use the property for what it's meant for and the landlord's right to make sure the property keeps its value.
Yeah, it's finding that sweet spot where everyone's rights are respected.
Now, zooming out a bit, Brownson is a pretty significant case historically, right? It gives us a real glimpse into how early American law took a pretty hard line when it came to what tenants were responsible for and how they enforced remedies like forfeiture, where the tenant loses the property to deal with waste.
Definitely. It shows us a time when property rights were really emphasized in the legal system. But let's get a little philosophical here, something for you, our listeners, to think about. Was forfeiture in the Brownson case really the fairest solution? Could the court have considered something else, like just making the tenant pay money to make up for the loss in property value?
That's a really good question. On the one hand, the damage to the timber was huge, and the lease did have that no waste clause, so forfeiture does send a strong message about keeping your promises and respecting property rights.
True. But like Justices Spencer and Yates pointed out, forfeiture is a really harsh penalty. It's like the nuclear option. The tenant loses everything they put into the lease.
Yeah, it's a big loss. So in today's legal world, we often see a preference for remedies that aren't quite so extreme, especially if money can adequately compensate the person who was harmed.
It's about finding a solution that's fair and proportionate to the situation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Jackson versus Brownson, what are the big takeaways for our listeners, especially those aspiring lawyers out there?
Well, I think a few things really stand out.
Right.
First, you got to have a solid understanding of what waste means in the legal world.
Mm-hmm.
It's permanent damage that decreases property value. And that definition is still relevant today.
Absolutely. And then there's the importance of enforcing those lease agreements, those covenants to protect property rights. Those are the rule of the game, and they need to be taken seriously.
For sure. And finally, the drafting lessons from this case are gold. Be specific. Be specific. Be specific in your lease agreements, especially when you're dealing with things like natural resources.
Right, because ambiguity is the breeding ground for lawsuits.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, in today's world, where we're all so much more aware of the environment, how would courts view these waste claims related to natural resources on leased property? Would forfeiture still be the go-to solution, or would money damages be seen as a fairer option?
It's a question worth pondering, for sure, especially as you continue your legal journey.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's a wrap on our deep dive into Jackson versus Brownson. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Always a good time. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.
And those contracts airtight.
You got it.